Welcome to the Nerd Party.
I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Daniel Prue.
And this is City Alpha 3.
Welcome, everyone, to City Alpha 3, the Nerd Party Star Trek podcast. I'm Philip Gilfus, joined as always by my co-hosts, Darren Moser and Daniel Prue. Gentlemen, how are you doing today?
It's new Star Trek Day, Phil. Wait, no, I said that last time. I can't use that opening every time.
No.
Or next
it's
week.
It's true, week after, but or... yeah, no. yeah, good. I have a new Audible credit, so I'm debating if I want to get another one of the Star Trek books. I recently re-listened to Enterprise War, still good, second time around, I recommend. But besides that, it's new Star Trek Day.
Hey, we learned from you last week that the Picard's Romulan help, I don't know what we're calling them. I don't know what we're calling them yet.
Caretakers?
Caretakers?
Yeah. Caretakers, yeah,
we're
good.
In the like comic.
They're about to whisk him across the galaxy. Ayo!
Told us last week that they were in the books.
The comics.
Somebody did. That was not me.
Oh, who mentioned it?
Yes.
Somebody mentioned it.
It was me.
It was Philip. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, because you read the comics. I was curious.
And issue 3 just came out last week.
And we'll definitely get into it, obviously, as the show goes on. But just as a quick aside, is the new lady from the end of this episode also explained in the comics?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
She is.
Okay.
So we will get into it.
Yeah, we'll get into that.
Well, I knew that, but did you know that? I also saw as more and more people are peeling back the curtain on Picard that apparently part of the theme in the Picard show comes from the Inner Light, which we already knew. But what we didn't realize is that it was what was played by his son at the end after Picard has passed. It's a slightly different tune.
Oh, interesting.
And they tied that all in because it's Star Trek and, hey, we have all this lore. Let's use it.
Deep dive.
Oh, no, we haven't seen lore yet.
Oh, geez.
Deep dive Star Trek trivia. What is the name of Captain Picard's son in the Inner Light?
Oh, man. Jeez.
Oh, okay.
You know I'm bad at trivia games, Daniel. I never win.
Also played by Patrick Stewart's actual son, right? I believe is the
that's
case.
I think correct, so. Yeah. I think
that
so.
That is true. That is true. All right. Well, as before we get into the in-depth talk about Maps and Legends, which I would never have thought that would be a Star Trek episode title, but there it is. So the second episode of Star Trek Picard, we're going to bring in a guest to help us talk about episode dose, and that is Sarah Goulday. Sarah, welcome to City Alpha 3. Stranded here with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Cool. Now, just to back up a little bit, since you're the new face here, kind of what were your expectations going into Picard, and then were they met or destroyed or melted by Romulan spit in that first episode or what?
Well, we knew it was going to be different from TNG. It was going to be more in a Discovery direction. I certainly didn't expect it to start as dark as Discovery did, and I don't think it did, but I really love what they're doing with Picard's character and making him vulnerable more of the time. I mean, those moments were so few and far between in Next Generation in the movies that they really made a huge impact when they happen. And now in the new series, we had one like right off the bat.
Now, I'm assuming, Sarah, you arrived on one of those snazzy shuttle taxis that we keep seeing. Apparently, it's the way to get around when you're no longer an active member of Starfleet. So
actually, I missed it. And so I had to come in by transporter.
Now when you came into the transporter, did a theme play? Because I mean, that's the best way to arrive in transporter is to have, you know, grand
a theme be announced.
Yes, you know,
it's like a WWE player coming out.
Who
they
song
play
is
your
that?
Theme.
Oh no! All right, well, let's get
it's
into
Picard. He's taking names and talking to admirals.
You've got to be.
That's not his show. It's not the theme because it's not very good.
Sure. Well, let's get into Maps and Legends. I have a whole little outline here, which we can or cannot follow. But Daniel, you kind of started with it, so let's get into it. And I'm bad with character names, so I just wrote down Dim Romulans. Picard's caretakers, as you pointed out, certainly the, and I, again, I don't know, Sarah, you're probably better than us with names and things, but the woman caretaker certainly took forefront of this episode in, of course, our new episode of CSI Tal Shiar. So,
jeez, oh,
Daniel, as our Romulan expert, what'd you think of his caretakers going to the forefront here?
My problem is not with the characters because I really like them. I like the actors that are portraying them. I think they're really fun and interesting, and I like the dynamic. I like the relationship that they have clearly have like established behind the scenes. I have some problem with the world building here. I don't want to conjecture too far into the future about where they're going with this whole secret
25th century
secret stuff. Yeah, I get it, Philip. I get it.
The double probation.
We're
super
so
secret Tal Shiar.
We don't even tell our secret people about our secrets and the secrets. And I just I'm worried. I'm very nervous. I will say about that specific plot point that the lady Romulan is
the Zatvash.
Thank you. Yes.
Gazootide,
I was never
going to
remember that.
Yeah. Her name is Larice, by the way, and I've also heard her referred to as Momulin.
I like that.
Oh, Momulin.
That's awesome. She's great. I love the scene later. We'll get to that when she's just...
Yeah, Larice and Zaban.
Interesting. Okay. So to answer your question, Philip, a little worried about what this...
Only a Varul would call them
this means yeah, for the Romulans slash... Mm-hmm. Where the show is going, I'm a little trepidatious about it. I don't know if I trust them to go in the right direction.
Do you mean because we're going so deep into Black Ops already kind of stuff? Or like, of course she knows. Like, did I get the impression that they're ex, like, Tal Shiar?
That's a great point. Because
that kind of seemed implied.
I should
she at least knew a lot.
I should explain. So, for those not reading the comics, though I, you know, I don't know, you obviously can't assume that, you know, you're reading the comics, but if you are, in the Star Trek Picard, I don't know if it's really called Star Trek Picard Countdown, but anyway, in the 3-issue Picard, yes, they are Tal Shiar. Yes.
Okay.
So real quick, if we're...
That makes sense.
One line, you know. And I wanted to get everybody else's read on this. She's going into their backstory. She says, blah, 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 blah. And then he interrupts and says, your mother. And then she goes, blah, 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 blah. And then he goes, my father. Does that mean that they are step siblings? Are they related? Are they? I don't know what's happening there. It was so quick. I didn't understand the dynamic.
Maybe their parents knew each other and that's how they met as kids. Yeah. Like,
in
not
the comics,
that they're related.
They have fallen in love.
Okay.
They
so they're not related. Okay.
Yeah, I never got that vibe, but that's a good point.
I didn't understand what their relation was.
I mean, if the Romulans are anything like the actual Romans, they could not be related. So. Well, Sarah, what do you think? Obviously, we're getting deep into Romulans, which, you know, I guess Nemesis and kicking off that, but which we necessarily never
Romulans
really...
have always been really interesting.
Yeah, but we never really gotten deep into them. But anyway, but Sarah, what do you think of sort of a lot of more Romulan plots into Star Trek Picard and characters?
I'm really enjoying that they're setting up this plot line. I actually really like the super secret agency stuff, so I'm super looking forward to Section 31.
Oh, yes.
No, I look at it as I'd rather Garrett show up and drop some knowledge about the Obsidian Order. That I'd rather do that than Section 31.
There's
but
a super secret Obsidian Order.
You would think if anybody, Garrick would definitely have dropped, like, hey, by the way, they're like Garrick would know about the Vought Chnosh. Or God, I don't know what it's called.
Just point to me, Daniel, and I'll say the name every time. Yeah,
the we'll have a
Zatvash. Think Vash. You can remember Vash. Remember? Yeah. Yeah. Just call him the Vash. Well, and now, Philip, I'm sensing a conspiracy theory because I look on my Mac keyboard and the F8 key is the play pause key, which I think means. You need the F8 Android to turn on and off the shields.
Ooh.
Yes. No, actually, that doesn't mean anything.
That
but that's the cool. That's the opening. Yeah. That's the how it starts. I thought that's where we're going. We're getting an Android. And I think as it was also revealed, played by the actor who did the Mac makeup booth at Star Trek Las Vegas.
Which we
as
saw.
Data. That was the person they got to be their Soonian kind of android,
synth.
I guess.
Synthetic.
Synth, yeah, synth. You know, he was playing the beats on his bass, the synth beats. But, yeah, we see more of this flashback where he kind of, you know, he's obviously not Data. He's not super intelligent. I mean, not even really as intelligent as a hologram in some regards, but, and then he basically goes circle light up eyes, as always happens when things are going down, and then disables the shield and shoots everybody and shoots himself. And I mean, we didn't really learn a lot except for what happened. Like, we don't know why still, but we know more of what, I guess.
Yeah,
but,
I like how it's not clear if he was acting under his own agency or not.
Yeah, I got kind of that remote override kind of feel. But again, it was really interesting. I like just seeing people interact with a synth. Like, we've never seen that. And we still haven't seen that in current time. So
My eye was twitching during the...
Your eye was twitching.
That scene. Daniel, you know why. You know what I was saying about this whole episode. You're in my brain about this one.
I mean, there's a lot of problems with it. I don't understand why they're... These people work...
Jerks.
Why are they mean? Like, okay, I have a Roomba. I don't talk bad about it. I don't kick it. I don't... Like, it's... Well, I don't understand. Okay. And this is now. This is this day and age. Alexa.
I have a guess for that,
Daniel. I'm nicer to Alexa than these people are to these actual almost human beings. And I don't understand that.
I think that's the thing, though. I think it's because they look humanoid, and there's something about the human mind that, like, kind of feels affront to that. Like, you know, when you look at something and it falls right in the uncanny valley, and you're like, I don't know why this is wrong, but this is wrong.
You recognize it as not human, for sure. I get what you're saying.
Which I understand, but I feel like because it's trying to be human, that on a base level, I could see why humans would be meaner to it.
I mean, aren't they all engineers?
Versus your Roomba.
Yeah.
They're working class Joes, I guess.
Are they? Or are they engineer? I mean, like, well, I assume that's a broad term. You're right. I apologize. 25th century engineers, which, you know, are not... necessarily, you know.
I was gonna say, we only got three tracks. So blue, yellow.
You say that.
I
did not
red,
see a red so. This whole episode, but that's neither here nor there.
That's true.
I did get the sense from if you watch the short track, Children of Mars, that those people, I don't know that they necessarily want to be there. They're separated from their children.
Yeah, it's not so utopia-ish when you have to punch in and not visit home for a year. It's just Mars. We can go to Neptune and back in 8 minutes, guys. So
well, I thought that was something, an interesting concept in Children of Mars, not to tangent, but we can. Because I think it was sort of explored, not really, but a little bit in TOS. I mean, this whole concept, and I'm hard thinking of a specific example. I mean, you had a couple marry in the ship. Anyway, but that when you went to the 5-year mission, you were gone for 5 years. You know, that was, that's the life. You know,
I could see that. Like, that's his deployment.
Yeah. It's whereas, not, then, you know, TNG, of course, embraced bringing your family with you.
But I never got the feeling that they were Starfleet. They're just, they're the people that run Utopia.
Well, they're Federation,
Planitia.
At least, you know.
True. I don't know. It's...
I don't know. I just don't think everyone should be jerks. As
well. Yeah, I was going to say that that whole episode, not that episode, but that event made me think about all the episodes where something went wrong with Data and he puts the whole ship in danger.
I mean, I still think of, like, when he takes over the bridge and he, like, expertly just, like, owns everybody.
Right? And this was, like, the worst possible outcome of Data malfunctioning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or even Nemesis. Or not Nemesis, sorry. Insurrection, where he goes off the rails. Like, I mean... Starfleet's not totally wrong to not trust synths. Like, they don't have a perfect track record, even with Data.
I didn't understand the point of what happened. And maybe it will become clear later on, though I have a suspicion that it's one of those details that it's just used for tension in this episode and will be forgotten about. But, like, why kill all the other people? His mission's been accomplished. He kills all the other people, then himself... But then dies, like, explodes anyway. Like, they're bombing him and stuff.
Well, I would guess he would kill the other people, one, so that they don't try to turn the shields back on. Two, he kills himself to erase any, like, record of what happened, like, as far as, like, deconstructing his mind to see what set him off. And, like, I know what you're saying. Like, eventually that building's probably going to get bombed into nothing. But it just seemed, you know, overly...
I don't think you're cautious. I don't know if you know this or not, Darren. Mars is still on fire, man. So
yeah, but the part, Daniel, is that true. When he killed himself, didn't you see the part where he woke up later in a pool, gasping in another body, just like his own? You didn't? No? Okay.
Right before he shot himself, where he's like, four before.
You know, I didn't think about it before, but the idea of him making sure every little bit of evidence is gone really fits in with how the Jat Vash clean up the apartment later.
That's true. Right.
Well, and speaking of the Jat Vash, like, we learn a lot about them as far as they hate AI. Like, that was new. I mean, not in a bad way, but, like, that was a really interesting plot point, because I'm sure that's a major thing in this entire show.
Yes.
So, anyway, conspiracy
theories. Yeah. Oh, yeah, and let's get to conspiracy theory. So let's, you know, we don't have to necessarily go in order, but at least this segment of the episode of the theme music and transporters, which, because I was a little confused, because we did go to San Francisco last episode and there was no theme music. This time there's theme music, but that's fine. Apparently, when you turn left to the archives, no theme music. When you turn right to Starfleet headquarters,
this is headquarters, Philip. It deserves the fanfare, man.
Yeah, we get more of the
and
uniforms.
This time he took those little transporter kiosk nooks. Yeah,
man,
were
those
really
are
cool.
Yeah. Really efficient. Like, you have to step out of that pad in 3 seconds, or somebody will be transported on top of you.
Hey, it's like an escalator in a big city. Yeah. You better.
It's like, what's that giant dome over there? Oh, that's the massive multiplex pattern buffer that runs our opening queue to keep everybody separate.
And I know we had a sign in the Borg ship, which we'll get to later. But I feel like there should have been a sign on the bridge in San Francisco. So many years until last destroyed.
Oh, jeez.
You did see it's been rebuilt with solar panels.
I thought
this time.
That was cute.
Yes,
yeah. That was nice.
Yes.
Since the Dominion, or the Breen attacked, you know.
And what you might, I think it was already known, but obviously Starfleet Academy, or Starfleet Command, that was the Anaheim Convention Center, is where
and
they shot
the
that.
And this is the fourth different version of Starfleet, right? Of Starfleet headquarters.
Yeah, it always has that same overall aesthetic, but yeah, that's like, right, I know that area right in front. I even remember behind the scenes pictures when they had cordoned it off for filming, so... Which was cool. So Captain Picard was down here.
Yeah. So we got the holographic. I assume that was the original Enterprise. No reason not to assume that's what it was. Yeah. And we did see that was. Then it goes into the Enterprise D, and then we get the little like.
Or John Harriman. You know, even name. After all these years, he's not getting any love.
What about Rachel Garrett?
Rachel Garrett. Yeah, yeah.
I want to think that the AI in the computer. For the
just
headquarters
recognizes.
Was smart enough. I totally think that. Like, he sees them and he's like, oh, go to slide 10, Bob. Slide 10. It's Picard. And then, like, because he smiles, and then the computer's like, I'm happy now. I made
the
old man smile.
Would the Stargazer
smile.
Have come up then, really? Come on, first love.
That's true. They both have been destroyed, so I guess you could pick one or the other.
So, wait, you're just aggravating Picard? Remember all these ships you effed up?
It'd be funny if it was crashed saucer section instead of the whole ship.
Or at the bottom, it's like status destroyed over Narenda 3, you know, or something. But
anyway, we get the visitor badge, which I'm sure everyone will now be cosplaying, and that's cool. But let's get to the meeting. Oh boy,
the admiral.
Yeah. So here, you know, we don't need for me to go on a rant. So Sarah, what'd you think of the admiral scene?
That made me so mad.
Good. All right, let's rant then.
Why did you go to the person in Starfleet that hates you the most and ask them for a favor?
That's a good point.
Well, I guess let me open form. Does anyone on the Admiral side, I mean, I know we all love Picard, so we all going to obviously automatically hate her, but does anyone think she acted rationally?
Yes.
I mean, she has a lot of good points.
I will say she has a justification for her behavior. I think.
Okay.
And he did just say that stuff on public broadcast on the Federation News Network. Okay. Like,
yeah, if we're talking about how an actual human being would feel... somebody that's in charge or high up in this political organization, I buy her response because he did just go on TV and totally trash the entire thing. And then like 3 days later, turns around and is like, hey, You could give me a ship if you have to promote, if you should demote me.
I can't. It would be weirder if she gave him the ship. Like, if you think about it,
you mean
that would make less sense.
If she gave the ship to the guy who saved the universe, a dozen times. I mean, where do I start? first contact, really? I wonder who's responsible for that.
We all know you got to steal your ship when you come back under those circumstances. That's what Kirk did. And Picard is no better.
Shinzon, who was responsible for defeating that? It'll come to mind. Don't I'll stop. Really, Kirk comes in, man who saved the galaxy, and it's like, could I have a ship? No. Get the F out of my office. That's what you say? This doesn't make any sense.
No, I think this is a direct response to what Kirk does. I think this is them saying, yeah, they've...
Do what Picard did.
No. I think this scene is a callback to how Kirk, Kirk just gets his stuff back. And...
They gave her back to me, Scotty. Gave her back, sir? I don't think it was that easy with Nagoro. You're right.
Literally got away with stealing starships and murdering people. I think this is partially a response to that sort of attitude, like what you have, Philip. Like, he saved the universe, so he gets free reign to do whatever the heck he wants. And that is an attitude, as she says, of hubris. That is an attitude of total nonsense.
Earned.
Yes, to a degree, but you also can't throw poop inside of a house and then expect to be invited in. I think that's silly.
Because I think,
People who live in transparastile houses shouldn't throw dilithium crystals. I mean,
because they're the same age, presumably. They're the same generation of officers. She knows what Picard has done. I mean, 20 years in the Stargazer, we're just going to, piss that away, I guess. Everything on the Enterprise D, Enterprise E, whatever. But then when he quit Starfleet, he didn't quit Starfleet yesterday. He quit Starfleet.
It was a while ago.
I don't know, 10 years ago? It's not yesterday, and it's not 20. But, and so he was saying Starfleet was in Starfleet then. I mean, that's what he said. He doesn't say Starfleet is in Starfleet now. So now who's holding the grudge? Not Picard, because he's been sitting in the silence. And then, I just thought it was totally... I thought the scene was trying to do, or the story, because not the scene, the story was trying to do something, and we'll talk about this in a second, about the medical stuff. And so we're thinking, that's an excuse, because she doesn't know that. The Admiral doesn't know that, so he can't do that. So, but I just thought it was over the top of like, you walk into this office and ask for a ship? Yes, because he's Jean-Luc Picard. Who else do you have on Earth right now that compares to Jean-Luc Picard?
Can he whip out that little glowy book and slam it on the table and put his hand on it? And it's like, recognize Star Trek Picard, Medal of Valor, save the Earth on Stardate 5-4, and they just lists it all off.
And also that, I'll end my rant here. Also, it seems like anytime he has to talk about Data, and I know that's a very, it's Genesis all over, very political, but you have to defend Data to anyone that was alive. Younger people, right? I get it. But to her?
I mean, remember the Scimitar was on its way to Earth to just kill everybody. Yeah. No,
I've said too much.
I think this scene is doing a really good job of setting up a Jean-Luc that has nothing to lose. Like, he's always been lawful good because he has this Starfleet career and he has to, uphold their values and uphold their rules and everything. Mm-hmm. And now he's just going to be out and he can do whatever he wants.
And he's cut off from his resources, so he doesn't have the backing of the Federation.
And the Admiral's like, turn in your Starfleet comm badge and phaser. You're off the case, McCluskey!
I think another important point to note is that the Admiral, for... We get a Badmiral later, but the Admiral, a Badmador...
No, this is the Badmiral.
No. That's what I'm trying to say. I think she is acting in good faith. She herself has no... She's not malevolent. She doesn't have ill intent. She literally was maybe personally wounded, but certainly professionally wounded by this man and doesn't think that he deserves to get this whatever. But she's running the organization in a proper fashion. She's not evil. She's not trying to take over the universe.
Right.
This is just a woman who says, no, I'm not going to give you free stuff, whatever you want, to go do whatever you want to do.
And honestly, it'd be a less exciting show if she did, narratively,
Well, we have this junkie ship. If you
Here's
really
the
want
Defiant. It. It's overpowered. Just go do what you want. Like, is this, you know.
Well, and I might have, you know, and of course I'm ignoring the F-bomb because I'm going to. But I could be slightly on board with the I'm not giving you rank or ship because I have a chip on my shoulder. But when Jean-Luc Picard walks into your office and says, there's a threat, there's synthetics, and she's like, bro, whatever, your crazy rantings of a crazy man. And I'm like, this is why we can't have nice things.
Yeah. Although I would laugh if, like, Picard, you know, again, kind of worked his way down where he's like, I'd settle for an Excelsior class, you know, something small, you know, it doesn't have to be big, you know. Something reliable. Oh, jeez.
You know what her problem is? But, she's been sitting behind that desk too long. But now we're going to get into the conspiracy you mentioned, Sarah, because, of course, Admiral gets on the hot phone and calls up Commodore O, which, if you're watching Doctor Who, is you know, there's a lot to do with the word O now. And then we get Commodore O talking to her people, and then blah, blah, blah. So what do you think of Commodore O's web?
Well, and Commodore O is a Romulan, you know, and she's, like, is she like a... Is she actually a Starfleet?
Yes.
Because she doesn't have a... But she didn't have a Starfleet pip.
She's a Commodore.
Yes, she had a Commodore. Like, it was basically the Admiral rank, but it just has one pip.
Maybe I misread that.
Yeah. But Sarah, what did you think of the web we weaved?
It was kind of confusing the way it was set up. Like, I wasn't clear. Is she a Romulan? Is she a Vulcan? I don't know. She seems kind of angry for a Vulcan.
I thought she was a Romulan. But that was my
idea.
Well... I mean, I have a hard time believing there's a Romulan Commodore.
Yeah, that's what confused me. What would a Romulan be doing in Starfleet?
I'm being specious, I guess. You know, maybe she is, and that's fine. But I assume she's parading as a Vulcan, not a very convincing one. But yeah,
yeah. No, and then, I don't think so because of the
Because I totally didn't believe she was a Vulcan. She didn't
act like
a Vulcan
because
at all.
Because of the conversation she has with what is.
Her spec op
person. What is the main admiral lady that Picard gets chewed out by?
Oh, I don't know.
Admiral Kirstin.
Kirstin. Which I wonder if that was that a Kirstin Beyer reference? But anyway.
Oh, maybe. Because of their conversation that they have, she says, "If there are Vajanimals, whatever they're called, operating on Earth, that would be highly illegal, and I would know about it, and then you would know about it." She's talking about Romulan. Covert ops happening inside the Federation. I assume this woman is a Romulan. Yeah, totally about it. And then she talks to the younger lady, and then later on we find out that she's Romulan with shaved ears. And so I'm pretty sure she's a Romulan.
Well,
she's definitely a Romulan. I was confused whether she's presenting as a Romulan or a Vulcan.
Right.
Okay,
See, this is my guess.
Maybe she's
half. Romulan. I think they know she's a Romulan. well, my guess is
Savick?
That after Romulus was destroyed, that basically she's basically like the connection between Starfleet and the Romulan remnant.
Liaison officer.
Kind of like a liaison. So she's a Commodore, but I don't feel like she's a Commodore of, like, Starfleet. I think she's the Commodore over the Remnant. Like, they're not...
Uniform.
I'm not going to go so far as to say, like, the Romulans are part of the Federation, but what's left of them kind of doesn't have a choice.
So you're saying she's the Kira of the Romulan Empire here, where she's...
Like Kira Nerys? Like
Kira played...
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Except it's season 7 Kira, where she's wearing a Starfleet uniform.
Right.
But she was a Commodore rank of from the Romulan Star Empire, so they're not going to make her like a lieutenant. So she still has that standing in the Romulan remnant, but she... Because that's, again, I was trying to look for a picture, because I swear that her rank... You know how, like, the Maquis had, like, different rank and things that? I felt like hers weren't pips.
Oh, they're giving out fake ranks,
No, again,
too?
But
Man,
she was,
geez.
Like... No. Like, she would have the rank based off of the Romulan government, not the Federation. So I need to find a picture, but that's how I interpreted it. Mm-hmm. That she was... Obviously, you know, when you're... And that makes sense, again, that... the Admiral would contact her because Picard's talking about Romulan stuff. And so, of course, you talk to the liaison between... I'm just calling it the Romulan Remnant now because I can't think of a better word. But
later in the episode, there is reference to the Romulan Free State.
Yeah, whatever you call it.
I don't know.
But
if you can.
That's the impression I got. But yeah, that's
well,
not.
Here we go. Okay, we have official confirmation from Memory Alpha.
I mean, that's what I'm looking at right now.
She's a 24th century Romulan operative of the Zot Vash, who posed as a Vulcan and served in the Federation Starfleet as a Commodore. So she is posing as a Vulcan. Okay. Interesting.
Well, she's not posing very well, because I totally thought she was a Romulan the entire time.
It's interesting. In the subnotes, although the episode itself does not give any explicit indication that O is a Romulan and not a Vulcan, her makeup was established as Romulan in the after show, The Ready Room.
So. Yeah, she looked... Okay. So she is... Okay, so... The only thing we didn't... So she actually is a Starfleet officer.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
that's what I thought so.
Interesting.
So, though, again... And again, this is broadly speaking...
You could say the balance of terror is out of whack.
Oh, man. Not quite a neutral zone of discussion. I think broadly speaking, this was not my favorite episode, but that's fine. We're moving on. So, you know, we've gone Admiral, who's not my favorite. Commodore, whatever. She's, you know, the generic news guy. But I thought it was very passive ignorant, if I can coin a term, that discussion with the Admiral and the Commodore. I know we're not doing it because I would know and you would know. So it's not happening. And I'm like, is there a camera on somewhere? Who are you talking to? Anyways, but Rizzo, which I can't believe is actually that character's name that I just looked up, is very broadly played. I want to say that, like, this person's not evil at all. Yes! Yeah. Our plan is going
to... she's...
You know, I'm like, oh, Jesus.
Pretty much. So she's the sister
of
Spock.
Yeah.
Over...
Yeah,
because he looks a lot like Spock.
Oh, they were siblings?
Yes.
Oh. Okay, I didn't pick up on that at all, but okay.
Because it was like, yes, my
when
brother.
She said my brother?
Yeah, when they chat on the hologram. Yeah, they're siblings, okay.
And she threatened to kill him, as, you know, siblings do.
Romulan siblings
do. I thought
it was
a little over the top when she's at the point where she's like, oh, you want me to kill Picard then?
Yeah, like...
Should I take care of him?
Yeah, I'm like, what? Yeah, take care of him. Like, you don't even air quote it, lady. It's like, geez, she's just straight up.
All right, lieutenant.
One of your Earth lieutenants, you know. But, well, and then also kind of cemented, I mean, not to jump too far ahead, but, like, again, her brother is the Romulan, and he's obviously in on it. So he's, and he knows who, not Dodge. Soji. Soji.
His name is Narek.
Soji is
Narek is his name.
Derek, okay, so his Derek the Romulan sounds so so he obviously knows she's an android and he's trying to get some information out of her.
They seem to think there's some kind of nest of them,
right?
Yes.
Which, yeah, that's true. Well, again, it makes sense if the
Narada,
you know, Vash really hate androids, that they're trying to flesh that out, but it's interesting. I was more interested with the whole Borg reclamation like process. That was really cool. The gray sites and the this many days since someone's been assimilating.
Well, let's do it.
I think it's a really, really cool concept. I love the idea of the Borg. I love reclaiming the Borg cube. I think it's awesome, especially since like it's like Romulan stuff doing it. Like, I think it's great, and I loved all of it. My question is, it's been... I don't know. I don't know where this Borg cube came from. Do we know the origin of where this thing is? It's been years.
Well, Daniel, when a Borg queen is really in love with her drones, what happens is...
All it says on Memory Alpha about the artifact, which is the Borg cube, is that the Romulan Free State established the Romulan Reclamation Site within the cube and managed by the Borg Artifact Research Institute. Or the Barai, you know.
I think they just wanted to to come out.
Yeah,
to shoot. That's my. Anyway.
Oh, and then the plaque on the reclamation site reads that 5,843 days have passed without an assimilation. Assuming Earthlink days, this would be over 16 years.
I know the Borg cubes are big. I feel like that's crazy amount of time for them not to be done with this project at this point.
Borg cubes are really big, Daniel. Like, I know you also, just said that, but you don't know how mind-numbingly ginormous, unproportionally large
they are.
I know
Daniel's biggest problem with that scene is that the sign is analog and not digital. But anyway.
Maybe it's the tradition of the Romulan Free State.
And also to be mysterious. Which like I said, we have never done a deep dig into Romulan society. We've had novel.
We don't
this
have
whole
a lot
secret
to go
culture,
of,
secret,
really,
secret,
like,
secret, secret. About you know, it's kind of jokey with Narek or Narek. And
you have like the Defector. You have Nemesis. You have a few episodes.
Yeah,
but
my wife was not buying that. So she just jumped in with Narek. He's a handsome gentleman.
She's using him as well or something?
I don't know. I mean, whatever. I'm not judging. But, I think they just met for two
seconds. The episode clearly establishes him.
Let me just put this over. She's a get. He's not, okay? She can do better, is what I'm saying.
No, Philip, they say in the episode, he's the first hot Romulan. So, obviously, that's an excuse.
The first hot Romulan.
Yeah, it was weird.
Well, let me put it this way. You've never had a Romulan. I'm going to feel like I'll say this and I'm going to be right. We've never seen a Romulan with facial hair.
That
so,
might be true.
Hipster Romulan?
That might be true.
I think you're right.
Yeah. Maybe if they let it grow a little bit, not all bowl cut and shoulder pads, maybe.
We did, in terms of Romulans, we saw some traditional TNG very heavily forehead ridged Romulans in this episode, too,
yeah.
So, which is great. It's great to see that variety.
Hashtag not my Romulans.
Jeez. Well, too soon, there's no Romulus, Philip, so it's just...
Well, what about... Sarah, what do you think of this whole Romulan Borg AI android? I mean, it's all coming together, is it? I mean, I like it. I'm not necessarily specifically, but the thematic things of this show seems to be coming together.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that the Romulan, I don't know if they were a doctor or what, the person who was removing the implants in this episode seemed to really not give a I don't know if someone asked that word on the show.
The nameless?
Yeah, they didn't care about them at all. They didn't think of them as people at all. And so it's like, why are you part of this project then?
Power, secrets.
Maybe because she could be detached, or something. Yeah, no, that's a good point. And maybe she's just been doing it for so long. I mean, if the reclamation has been going on for 16 years at least, like, that's a long time.
Well, I'm surprised, but I don't know what the explanation is. Maybe we can just make one up. Is that there is a bit of diversity in that crew. You had the new Trill, who's first day jitters. I mean, like, in other words, for a Romulan site, it's not very Romulan. Now, is it just because, hey, working a Borg cube, that's pretty cool, and everyone's just coming and checking, doing it out. But, who's in charge? Like, is it the Romulan Free State, quote-unquote? I mean, it just seems like it was a very diverse group for a Romulan project.
Again, I think with the Romulan Free State, I think they beggars can't be choosers. Like,
oh, sorry. No, I was thinking the same thing. It was very un-Romulan of them to invite strangers in. They like their secrets.
Yeah, and she specifically mentions... Like Borg technology that he's profited off of or has taken advantage of. I don't know. It's really strange because it doesn't feel like a Romulan thing. I guess it'll be interesting to see, of course, how people like Seven and Hugh are going to factor into all this stuff. All of that technology would be readily available at this point, I would think. But I guess we don't know. We don't know where the Borg have been for 20 years or so. So.
Also, was I reading too much into this that the exact organism or drone that they were working on was an unknown species?
He couldn't be unknown because Soji talked to him. And then if you watch the preview from next week, Hugh comes in and says, oh, you talked to him in his own language.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, I thought she was speaking Romulan. I did not know that.
Hmm. maybe he was unknown, and so she doesn't know realize that she knows the language.
Android.
So she's kind of C-3PO. Like
deep programming.
And she knows at least 6 million forms of communication, is what you're saying, Darren.
Well, again, we don't know if she knows she's an Android.
But do we know that she knows?
Oh, jeez. But, yeah, and it's interesting, though, because... Sarah, what was your thought at the end of season or of episode one, just with the death of Dodge? And because we kind of all felt like we kind of liked her character more than Soji. Like, I mean, obviously we don't know her as well. Spent less time with her.
I do question her hygiene.
We were kind of like, oh,
I mean, she just have showered before going to work. I mean, I'm just throwing that out there, folks.
Well, I mean, they definitely needed to put something that had impact at the end of that first episode.
That's true.
And so I feel like that was an interesting way to do it. But yeah, she was an interesting character, and I would have liked to know more about her.
I'm still not convinced.
Yeah.
I think...
I don't know
that she's gone. I really don't.
Maybe she transformed to her sister through the special necklace connection they had.
And Momulin, which I think is the most amazing name ever, they're talking about like the forensics of all this sort of stuff. And they're like, there's no trace elements of her at all. And I'm like, okay, she could have been erased, but she could have also just run away or used her cloaking device, which was subtly hinted at in the first episode. I don't know. I think she's coming back. I really do, but I guess we'll see.
I was going to say, I don't think so because of what the Commodore and Lieutenant Rizzo were saying about how you screwed up and you blew our chance.
Yeah, that could be too.
Oh, I see. They reaffirmed that in
basically,
a way.
Basically, Rizzo's in trouble for killing her too soon.
In a way.
She's on report.
Yeah, before they got the information.
Her name is on the board.
Yeah.
Now, Daniel is our resident tech. What did you think of the tech part with Momulin?
The CSI
I mean,
Momulin.
On one part, you know, I love tech, by the way. I love it because I like, hey, it's a real world. But I thought, like, I could have done without this 5 minutes and probably you could have just faked something. You don't have to. Don't do a show for me. You know, you know who it is. We found her. Let's go. What would you think, Daniel?
It's not good Trek babble. Maybe it's because they're new at it. These writers don't really know how to do it. To be fair, Trek babble is, by definition, kind of bad. Like, generally. Like, it's not supposed
to make sense on a deeper level.
But
they didn't reverse anything, Daniel. How is it supposed to work if you don't reverse
the thing?
I
think the idea was a clever one. I just think that the writing is the weakest part here. So I kind of thought it was silly how like I like the idea of like they tried to make it not obvious that they wiped everything. They leave breadcrumbs but false breadcrumbs. That's a cool idea. That's a great concept. And that sounds very Romulan as well. But the idea that I don't want to get too far into this. I know because this is going to be crazy. But the idea that you have this scanner that can build like forensically build a scene from something that happened a few days ago and you can watch it. Why would you ever make that illegal? That's amazing technology that is super useful. And she's like, no, it's illegal. Whatever. That's fine.
Like it's trilithium.
Maybe it's made by
you know, this.
Ale.
It's a whole list.
Yeah. There's one company that owns all the trilithium, memory maker. Yeah, and they're all
the
legal.
Missile with it's all everything. It's on the list. Yeah,
proto matter. It's just all bad. They're like, boy, we went into the wrong industry.
Carata,
the proto matter trilithium ale
so
business.
So that scene now that I'm thinking about, it's making me think that Soji must know because if they didn't know, why would they be calling each other? Like if you were trying to hide them out in the universe somewhere.
Well, we know that she knows she has a sister. We know that.
A sister.
But if you were going to put them out in the universe and have them not know that they were androids.
But she acted like she didn't know to Picard.
Well, yeah, but she, I don't know. It's unclear is what we're saying. I mean, because according to Memory Alpha, which apparently is what we're going by, her sister's name is on her phone, on her holo phone.
Right. Yeah, we know that they talk, and we know that she knows she has a sister, But as far as her interactions with the card, she did not make it seem like she
also,
knew she was
an
android.
Be worried that she hasn't heard from her sister in a couple days.
Yeah, it's just been a few days,
and then her fake
That's
mother,
true.
Her fake
it's
mother
a
got a distressing phone call.
Yeah, that was
weird. So she hasn't tracked down the other daughter.
Let's assume a more important question is: let's assume that all the information that we have been given is true. And that Bruce Maddox has perfected this ability to create these androids, these humanoid androids. Why has he sent any of them out into the ether? Well, but
maybe they escaped.
They didn't do it of their own volition because they don't remember or know anything about it.
There was this crystalline entity, Daniel, that came. And it's the oldest trick in the book.
Maybe this is like the field test. Maybe he's observing them.
Maybe.
Maybe he's one of the characters that we've already met and we don't know.
Or maybe he sent them out to truly discover what happened with the synths on Mars because obviously that's bad.
Well, you know,
happened.
unlike Data.
I don't know. It's all we're in episode two, guys. It's all speculation
Data,
at this point.
His father, as we know, not following in his footsteps. These two young ladies have followed in their father's footsteps. They are both going into the field of AI.
The exact
field. So we
have
one with the Borg, and we have one with the Daystrom Institute AI division, which are both parallel shows. It's like Chicago Fire and Chicago Police, you know. So. but yeah. So, all right. I have some quick random things. So, what did you all think? And I thought this was it's a callback, but it's not. But Picard meets with his old, I guess, CMO from the Stargazer.
Oh, his doctor. His personal
from the Stargazer,
yep, that
apparently.
Was nice.
Yeah, so I thought that was cool.
Had kind of a Pike.
Oh, Dr. Boyce.
You know, Dr. Boyce kind of
interesting
feel.
Interesting that he would go to him and not to Beverly.
Oh, boy. That,
only because we don't know where Beverly is. Beverly may be commanding a ship off somewhere.
I hope something cool is happening with her because it's like we don't even mention her when he says, like, you know, oh, what about, not him, but like another person was like, oh, what about LaForge or Worf or Wright? And he's like, no. It's like, and there's other people you can mention too.
He knows women,
you know,
too. All right. This isn't sausage party.
I really like that character.
Yeah. I almost mistook him for his archaeological friend who was trying to raise Atlantis. But then it wasn't. But obviously the same kind of character, you know, a good old friend.
And again, sorry, I don't mean to criticize. Sorry, this episode was a little discovery for me, and y'all know what I mean by that. But anyway, because it's all like, you want to go back into the dark. I'm like, okay, it's space, man. Yes, the
He loves space. Come on, everybody knows that. Well, and it also kind of helped establish, like, Picard's been chilling on Earth for a while.
I know, two episodes.
Like, he's been out there.
Well,
oh, geez, you know what I mean.
To that point, the Admiral lady says, go do what you're good at and go home. So I guess, it is kind of establishing.
Dog.
Yeah. You come into my house. Yeah. And he had to get cleared for off-site, off-planet space travel. Like, apparently that's a thing for the space TSA to know or something.
But the two important parts of that scene, well, callbacks, I should say, the two important callbacks of the scene are, of course, that we meet his CMO from Stargazer, which is great. I love that because it's a piece of Picard history that we know.
Which is cool.
It adds a new piece of Picard history that we don't know to the piece of Picard history that we know. And then, of course, this is direct reference to All Good Things with the
Aromatic
syndrome. So this is awesome.
Aromatic syndrome.
And it's not named, obviously, but it's like, hey, this is serious. You're sick, man. And obviously, we knew all this from before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to kill you. And it's, you know, and probably sooner than later. So.
And, I mean, I do, you know, because it's, I mean, I do like, you know, I'm watching this somewhat in passive mode. I'm not like there with my list. All right, you better do this, Picard, Star Trek Picard. But, like, I mean, I you probably could have gone like five episodes without me going like, hey, what about? But that they're like, oh, yeah, we watched the last episode too. Don't worry, Philip. You know, so yeah, with the Aromatic syndrome. And so it's like, it's almost like a time there. Maybe they don't mean to introduce this, but it's almost like they're introducing like a clock now in the season.
Oh, like this is similar to the time of when he jumped forward in All Good Things.
Because he hasn't, he's not like that Picard that we saw in that future, at least not yet.
Yep, no beard.
No one's laughing.
Totally different.
But that there's sort of maybe he's only has some borrowed time left, you know, and so.
Now that's interesting. I hadn't thought of that, of it kind of a mile marker of from All Good Things to now, but.
All right, and if we can move on, I can give you some comic background if you want, but Sarah, what'd you think of, instead of heading to the TNG characters we all know and love, we're introducing a new character, and Picard goes and beams down to a very familiar-looking
to the Vasquez Rocks, yes,
with a bottle of wine and a song in his heart.
Her hippie van got a really good parking spot. I'm just gonna say that's a great view.
What they do with her character? I'm glad it's not all the same old characters, because that would be boring. But I think Akiva Goldsman mentioned in Ready Room that it's really the first three episodes that are the pilot. So I'm kind of like reserving judgment on what they're doing with characters so far until next.
Doing a discovery.
Yeah. So next episode, I guess we get to finally see the ship and see his crew and all of that. So I'm waiting to see what happens there.
That's true. That's literally what Discovery does, because you don't see the Discovery for until like the third episode. And we kind of mentioned this last week as well. Like this didn't. I mean, Discovery had a two part kind of pilot that I think aired.
Came on CBS Network, and then the second part. On All Access.
And then you could immediately go watch the second part on... Okay. But so this is the first Star Trek we've had in a long while that hasn't had a double-length pilot, is what I'm saying. So they are
now,
kind
for
of
the
stringing
comic background,
out the beginning.
Sorry, and I forget again. I don't do names, apparently. This woman was his former first officer when he was an admiral. And she's actually a Romulan expert. And I can't remember the...
Okay. Obviously, something went down because she did not like him.
Issues, but she's a Romulan expert, because I thought that was interesting when he's like, "How do I bait that hook? Oh, there's a Romulan conspiracy. I guess you're not interested in, you know." And then she's like, "So,
the 86,
and he brought wine,
14-year-old wine, as all
good Frenchmen do." So,
yeah, that's what I'm going to be doing with that admiral.
That's true,
14-year-old wine.
Maybe he picked it up from his data storage locker at the Star Trek Surfing Camp.
Or the vineyard which he lives on.
Okay, gosh. Poke holes in my theories all day. Why don't you?
Like I said, it's not my favorite episode, but I didn't hate it or anything. But it just, to me, there wasn't... I don't know, because we've talked about it a lot. There was a lot, so I feel stupid saying this. Like, there wasn't a lot in it. But I just, fell at the end.
It's
like,
an in-between episode.
Because even my wife was like, wait, that's it? I was like, oh, that's it.
Like your trailer didn't explode. You
like
know,
you're
nothing,
saying, Sarah, maybe if we look groundbreaking at this as a three episode, this is just the middle part of the 3-hour tour.
You know, there was one little tiny line in there, but I didn't totally get it when he said he didn't care for science fiction books.
Yeah, I
think it's just a joke.
I mean, he's always been into Shakespeare and stuff like that, but it's like, oh, the guy who lives in Star Trek doesn't like science fiction.
But he still has...
It's like, you live on a spaceship, Picard! You fly through
Picard
the stars!
Very
it's still going to be amazing.
Because he has a book that he doesn't like, and he keeps it. See, when I have a book I don't like, it goes into the Take to the Used Bookstore to get credit to get another book to put on the bookshelf. That's taking up bookshelf space right there. You don't want that. So there's
a line that we alluded to before, which feels,
but, you know,
for two reasons, feels really cheap fan servicey, and it's when they're when he's talking to, can we call him, Dad Mulan? I don't
sure why not.
Pop. I'm gonna make that work somehow. But
Populin.
But and he, you know, Darren, you mentioned
Populin.
It, it's like, oh, what about? They name drop three characters:
Romulan
Worf,
and Populin.
LaForge, yeah.
And
Riker.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
And that feels a little fan servicey, only because Picard has served with people both before and after the characters that we know. And secondly, he doesn't even mention McDuff, which I would think would be the absolute first person that they would mention to Picard. So, I, you know, it just upsets me.
Wow.
But that's fine. Whatever. I got over it.
Boy. Well, one thing that I was thinking about, and I mean, it was sort of a horrific thought, because, why did I think this? It's in the comics, that's why. Sorry. And I know I hate to be, because LaForge is working.
Well, push LaForge up your glasses when you say that, Philip, so we know.
Because he...
And guess what?
He helped build
the
jellyfish, right?
That we were unsure of his fate.
And the fleet, too, in the comics, he's helping.
Yeah, he did.
But yeah, but I was like just thinking like, oh, wait, what if LaForge die? And I was like, oh, they mentioned him. All right. Ooh, all right. We're good.
he's like, no, like I can't Data. Use them. Jordy's dead, by the way. And she's like, no. Yep.
That would be pretty
name drop off-screen death. Sure. Oh, man.
Well, I'm sure that'll probably be Pulaski. All right, moving on. Well, let's kind of do some final thoughts here. So, Darren, what's your final thoughts about maps and legends? Was there an actual map or legend?
Yes. I know. I was trying to think, like, that's an interesting title because it's like, well, he kind of tries to throw around his legend status and it does not go over well with the Admiral. And, I don't get the title. That's, okay, guys, until we go full Latin, I'm not fully invested in this show. Okay, once we get the full Latin title, then we'll see. But... no, overall, I like you said, I feel it kind of is that in-between episode. I think I'll wait and see as we get the first three episodes. But I'm still hooked. I still feel like they're revealing enough, you know, mystery, but also giving us answers along the way. It's not like, well, you're not going to really find that out till episode 10. It's like, no, we're getting stuff as we go. But it's also painting the picture of this time. And I am enjoying the, you know, flashbacks to... You know, heck, we could have a flashback to Utopia Planitia at the beginning of every episode, as far as we know. That could
just
be really
yelling
interesting.
Yelling, you know, being jerks to AIs. That's the show you want to pitch to us, Darren? All right. I mean, we got two more shows to fill. So, all right. Daniel, what about you? Final thoughts on maps and legends, legends and maps?
Yeah, I'm a little nervous, honestly, about the direction at this point. I will say I like the slower pace compared to Discovery. But I'm also a little concerned that it's making a lot of the same narrative mistakes that Discovery makes. Sort of less. Oh God, how do I even put this? There's not a
melodrama.
It's like not a lot of. It just seems plot for plot's sake. Plot, 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 plot. It's not a lot of careful world building or interesting character development. It's this is the story, and that's the only thing that matters. And I'm a little concerned about that. That being said, I am interested in where we're going because I don't really know. And this episode did feel kind of middling in the fact that we didn't really get a ton of revelations or things that we aren't. What did we learn? We learned that there are evil Romulans. So by the way, we real quick, Philip, you mentioned that we're kind of getting a deep dive into Romulans, and I think that's a great thing concept. I'm worried that already their first idea is to double down on, ooh, Romulans are secretive and evil, and that's what they're doubling down on Romulans. We're not going to actually explore them or in any way flesh them out.
I said hot, too, Daniel. I don't know if you heard that.
So I'm a little concerned about that. But anyways, I move forward with cautious optimism. I like the Picard stuff generally always. Of course, Picard, doesn't matter where, he could be just sitting there drinking his Earl Grey, and I'm just going to be... I'll be there for it, for sure, 100%. So we'll see where it goes. But episode 3, I think, will definitely set some stuff up for the rest of the season.
Well, considering it's called The End is the Beginning, so I think it's all about setup. And just a subnote that that Hanil... Oh, I should have prepped on how to spell this name. Hanil Culpepper... who has directed the first three episodes, which kind of, again, makes sense that it's kind of the three-episode pilot all directed
by the
Sarah, same
person.
And
Sarah, you get the last word here. Last words on...
Okay, two final thoughts. First, I love how they're creating this tension by taking everything away from Picard. He's running out of time. He may be losing his mind. His reputation, that's everything in the Federation, is gone. Like, the guy at the front desk doesn't know who he is. The Commodore and the Admiral are referring to him as the Hermit of Labar behind his back. So, yeah, they're really just taking everything away from him. And then we get to see what Jean-Luc does when there's nothing holding him back. Second thought, I love how whenever Momulan gets mad, she gets really Scottish.
Though it is one of those scenes that is tropish that I actually do want to see the actual scene. You're going back into space.
What a great scene, by the way. I love that scene. It's, again, great character, those two Romulans there.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. All right. Well,
Oh, for sure.
That's right.
For sure.
That's right. We've already killed off one woman. And they don't
if anything happens to Momulan, we riot.
We didn't see number one this episode. Did we? I don't think we did.
Daniel.
Well, I mean,
they've taken everything away from
he was not
they have,
like, even the dog.
Trained dog. I mean, he.
Oh,
man.
Wow. Oh, this is going dark.
What, is he got a John Wick on us? Is that over happening?
Phasers.
Just now I see him like strapped with like a type 3 plasma rifle. And he's all. It's like, set phases
all
to
right.
kill.
Well, Sarah, if folks want to get more of your thoughts about Star Trek Picard and Trek and whatever else you want to talk about, where can they find you in the world?
I actually have a fanzine. It's called Star Trek Quarterly. The second issue will be coming out very soon. First issue you can find on Facebook at Star Trek Quarterly, and you can get in touch with me through there.
Awesome. And Daniel, if folks want to talk to you, where can they reach you on the internet?
They can find me on Twitter at OneUpDan. That's the number one, not the word, as in Romulans are still the best. So there you go.
Okay. Well, Darren, if people want to talk to you about bad Madors.
Sounds like a dog
where can
breed.
They find you?
They can find me on Twitch, Instagram, or TikTok under username Dr. Sci-Fi, DrSciFi.
All right, and if folks want to pitch to me their other CSI Tal Shiar spinoffs, they can find me on Twitter at
Instagram.
Now I want to think of all the ones of where Picard's putting on the sunglasses, and what would he say?
Wait, she is a synthetic. Ba-da! Puts on the glasses.
Yeah. Now I'm going to be thinking about all day. And they can find me at NC Public Servant on Twitter. Well, until next week, I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Darren Moser.
And I'm Sarah Goldie.
Stranded here on City Alpha 3.